Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You know, it wasn't too long ago that when looking for a new job, you only needed to submit your resume with references. And sometimes you did it on paper. Remember that? Well, the internet and social media have changed the game forever. One of the biggest players is LinkedIn. Depending on the job, you may not be able to get that job without it. But what is the difference between a winning and a losing LinkedIn page? Well, joining me to talk about this is Andrew McCaskill, LinkedIn career expert in global communications. Lines are open if you have a comment or if you have a question about getting your job situation squared away online. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Andrew, thanks for joining the conversation.
Hey, Harold, thank you for having me. I'm super excited about it.
Absolutely. Well, I hope our listeners are, because I suspect that you have some good news and some bad news for some folks when it comes to their LinkedIn page. So my first question is, does every working person need a LinkedIn page, or is it just for the professionals, the executives, and for the business owners?
Oh, no. Listen, I work at LinkedIn, but I believed before I came to LinkedIn, and even more so now that I'm here, that everyone who is looking for a job or who has a job and thinks that they want to advance in their career, I think should have a LinkedIn profile. In particular, I believe that all African Americans should have a LinkedIn profile. And I know that that could be an eye raiser, but here's why I truly believe that. Every 15 seconds, someone is getting a job on LinkedIn. That's 6,000 people a day get a job on LinkedIn, right? And that's not just about folks who think that, you know, oh, well, that's for folks who are VP of this and senior director of that. LinkedIn has jobs and opportunities for first line and hourly workers as well. There are 129 million first line and hourly workers on LinkedIn. And quite honestly, about 50% of the jobs on LinkedIn are first line and hourly. And so that's really important for folks to remember. That resume that everybody used to build, I mean, if you have a resume, absolutely, that is great. But that resume goes only as far as that piece of paper goes, right? Whereas if you have a LinkedIn profile, your LinkedIn profile with your skills and your education, all of those things, that profile is working for you while you're off doing a million other things. There are 800 million people on LinkedIn globally, right? But think about it from this standpoint. There are African Americans make up 14% of the U.S. population, roughly. We make up 28% of the active conversations on Twitter, right? Black Twitter is a thing, right? There is someone at the L.A. Times whose job is to look at Black Twitter so that they can use that as a proxy to see what is happening in culture, what is happening in the world. LinkedIn is a professional social media network that its entire existence is to create economic opportunity for the global workforce. Imagine if African Americans over-indexed on a social platform that was created to connect people to and create economic opportunity.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
And yet, why is it that there are still Black people who are resistant to joining LinkedIn or staying with LinkedIn? What's the deal with that?
Well, I think it's twofold, honestly. One, I think of some people say, oh, well, I'm not ready to have a profile on, or I'm not at that point in my career. Oh, yes, you are. Here's the reality is that recruiters are using LinkedIn as their first line in looking for talent. And in the current marketplace, there's a lot of competition for great talent out there. Companies are hiring like crazy right now. It is actually a job seeker's market. Having a profile on LinkedIn, I think part of it is folks will say, oh, I don't want to put my resume. I'm not super excited about what's on my resume. The entire way that recruiters are looking for talent now is changing rapidly. Gone are the days where the first thing that recruiters are looking for is education or a four-year college degree. Now, recruiters are looking for skills. It's skills, skills, skills. Things that you can do that are that you do extremely well, that you do better than other folks. And so part of it is it can be a little intimidating. We know what to put on Facebook. It's all the things that are fun and interesting, and we've already got a core group of people that, you know, within 15 minutes we can upload the contacts from our phone, and then we've got tons of Facebook friends or ton of Instagram friends. Think about it like this, is that if you just took a fraction of the time that you spend on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and invested that time into building your professional profile and your professional network, the payoff from that is exponentially higher. I think that we've just never had enough folks to come out and say, hey, there is some professional and economic gold right here, and it's on this free platform. All you have to do is invest a little bit of time and mine for it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about LinkedIn, social media, and your job search, your professional development. How can you have a winning or losing LinkedIn page? What you need to know to move forward in your career. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things, specifically when you're talking about LinkedIn, and I have watched it with a critical eye from its very beginning, not just as a social media site, but also from a business perspective, particularly when it went public. As an investment tool and the like. But one of the other things that I found really interesting is it has evolved, because it has evolved into a social media platform, just like the others that you mentioned, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. It is more now like those other platforms than it was in the very beginning. In the very beginning, it was just very simply a place to put your resume. But now it is not just a place to do the job hunt, but it is a place to network with other professionals. But the other issue, to the point that you were making, there is a crossover effect that employers are looking for. You can be the straight-laced, dark suit, white shirt, striped tie person on LinkedIn, but then you could be the the turn-up Hennessy drinking club person on Instagram, and whatever else you are on Facebook. And the reality is, how do you address the crossover effect? You know, because you can be Black Lives Matter on Twitter,
right?
You know, how do you, you know, as an employer, how do you address the crossover effect of all social media?
You know, I think that that's an incredibly interesting question, right? Because, and I think that the answer to that question is different today in a COVID world than it was just, you know, 2 years ago pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I think employers are much more, are having completely different types of conversations in professional environments than we've ever had before. I just take a look at what happened in the world, in the wake of Black Lives Matter, right? In that, I think that, you know, one of the things that I say about 2020 is that was interesting is that 2020, due to the murder of George Floyd, many of my white colleagues discovered that racism is a real thing. It's not something that Black people are just kind of think happening is happening, and it doesn't really happen. And also they discovered Juneteenth, right? And so I think that the world of work is changing because we are now in each other's houses. We're on these Teams calls and these video conference calls, and the baby is crying, so we got to grab the baby. This is the way our life is. And so what the old school way of thinking about what professional, air quotes, is changing rapidly. We have a campaign right now, advertising and marketing campaign, a commercial that we're putting, that we have, you know, all national media all over the country, is like, what is professional? Professional is starting over. Professional is, I'm a CPA and I've got tattoos all over my arms, and I have what is professional? I'm a VP at LinkedIn, and I've got two earrings, and I've got, you know, skin fade haircut, and I got a part on the side, right? So the world of what professional is changing. I will say, though, that it is still, LinkedIn is still the tool that you want to use to tell your professional story. You can tell all of the other stories about all of your interests and all of those other things on those other platforms. But if you want to use this tool most effectively, it is the place where you tell your professional story. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Is having a great first impressions always matter, right? So having a great LinkedIn photo is like a virtual handshake. Members who include a profile photo receive up to 21 times more profile views. And so what I always say is, know the role that you have in the organization, in the company. And so it's still a professional network. So I say, have a great photo, but no beach selfies unless you're a surf instructor, right? And so on my profile, I've been VP at Facebook and senior vice president at Nielsen and senior vice president at Interpublic Group. But my LinkedIn profile picture is kind of how I show up at work every day. It's me in a crew neck sweater, right? That's what my LinkedIn photo is. So the world of managing and navigating social media, I think that that's a part of that sort of professional development is know your audience and know what you want to convey to your audience. Just like I am 100% when the world opens back up, I can hookah and Hennessy with the best of them. That's not necessarily what I talk about on my LinkedIn profile, however.
Right, and unless you start working for a hookah Hennessy company.
Exactly.
I need to take a break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about stepping up your online job game. How do you make the next move online, on LinkedIn, on social media? How do you not make mistakes? And what do those mistakes look like? Putting your best face forward. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on whur.com. Don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear this program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about stepping up your game when you're looking for a new job. How do you create a winning page on LinkedIn and avoid a losing page? My guest is Andrew McCaskill. He is a LinkedIn career expert, head of global communications with LinkedIn. If you have a comment, if you have a question about your LinkedIn page, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so let's first of all start with some of the basics about some do's. You mentioned about the profile page. Let's talk about... You talked about hookah and Hennessy, so we know those are definitely no's unless you're working for a hookah or Hennessy companies. But let's talk about some other less obvious don'ts.
Less obvious don'ts. I think don't forget that you are telling a story. Don't forget that you are that nobody knows how good you are better than you do. Right. So tell your story. If you're talking about a LinkedIn profile, I would say be really smart about it. There's an opportunity for you by adding a summary at the top of your LinkedIn profile. I say it makes your profile more easily searchable when future employers are looking for you, right? And so. Take a look at the job descriptions that you are interested in, right? I think that's the number one thing that folks have to do is be really intentional and strategic about your job search. What are the jobs that you want? Take a look at those job descriptions when you find them and use keywords that you see in those job descriptions that consistently show up in your own profile in your summary about your work. Review some of those descriptions for your field of work and include those keywords and those skills that are asked for in those job descriptions. You'll really impress recruiters, and the algorithm that recruiters oftentimes use to search for folks, those algorithms are tied to look for skills. They're not necessarily tied to look for what school or university you graduated from. So keep that in mind. I would say when you're thinking about your professional story and your achievements, if you can add visuals like pictures or if they're compelling videos that you can share, or even links to presentations that showcase your experience, having something for people to look at on your profile will make them stay there longer. Again, keep in mind, this is about how you want to be perceived. So your professional story is that you're also a servant leader or you do community service, have something in there about your community service work, even a photo of you doing community service. That's a way to add some interest and some depth and some color to your profile. But that thing about keywords is really, really important. Recruiters rely on those algorithms to help them find those keywords. And so let me give you an example of what something like that might be, right? Without using keywords like I'm a great team leader or I'm a project manager or I'm a writer or I have certain technical skills or I'm proficient at accounting or budgeting or data entry, any of those types of things that are part of your skill set, be really explicit about using those things in there.
Okay. I think that's really important because generalizations would probably leave people who are looking for specific things to gloss over. Exactly. You would be missed in that search.
Yeah. And LinkedIn is the other thing too is that we know that the time that we're in right now is truly like no other time that we've looked at. 4.3 million people quit their job in August 2021. That's the largest number of folks that have quit their job since the Bureau of Statistics has been recording the data, right? September 2021, that number was 4.4 million. So there's a record number of open jobs out there and a record number of open jobs on LinkedIn. But the flip of that is for folks who are actually looking for work, confirmed hires have increased on our platform by 173%. People are getting jobs. People are out there calling this the Great Resignation, but folks, and Black folks in particular, we are not just resigning jobs and going home and chilling, right? Like that's not what's happening. We're actually transitioning jobs at a record pace. And we recently reached out to Black professionals, and about 39% of Black professionals said that they were looking to change jobs since the pandemic, that they were rethinking and reimagining what they wanted to do with their work lives. And so that is, we call it the great reshuffle, because it's not just people resigning, but people are rethinking like how they want to work, where they want to work. They're rethinking even like what their work motivation is, right? They're looking for more fulfillment. They want more flexibility. And so we've created tools to react and respond to that. One of the things that I talk to Black professionals all over the country about is we have a filter now for if you specifically are looking for hybrid work or remote work, you can set up a filter in your LinkedIn profile that calls job alerts. Job alerts is amazing because job alerts allows you to look for a job while you're eating, while you're sleeping, while you're working at your current job. And what you do is you go in, you create a profile of these are the companies these are the types of jobs that I would like, to have. This is the type of work that I want. These are the type of roles. This is the geography where I want to work. Now you can add, I would like remote work only. Mm-hmm. And so whenever a company posts a job that fulfills your requirements that you put in, you immediately get an alert to your email right then and there. Hey, this job from PepsiCo fits all of your criteria. If you go on now and apply for it, right? So now that we're in this world of remote work, you can be 58% of African Americans live in the South. Now, if you're in Jacksonville, Florida, or Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you can now have access to some of those Silicon Valley jobs that you no longer have to go to San Francisco to for those jobs that are remote only. You now have access to those Manhattan media jobs that you would not have had access to because now many of those jobs are hiring remotely. That is the cheat code to economic opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is really that we're seeing as a huge trend that I think is amazing for African Americans too is the gig economy and the hustle economy. That's a part of our economic culture, is having multiple jobs and having our side hustles, right? Now, I look at, my friends talk about me all the time. They were like, dude, how many jobs do you have? Like, are they not paying you at LinkedIn? Like, why do you have these other gigs, right? And part of it is that is a part of our economic culture. My mom was a teacher, but she also worked retail on weekends, right? Like that's just kind of the deal. My dad rebuilt cars, but he also was a chemist on an oil rig, right? So that is a part of our economic culture.
Yeah.
And we have this, we also have this tool called service pages. You can have your LinkedIn profile, but then you can create a service page that you can use to showcase all of your side hustles. If you're a freelance writer, if you're a freelance IT consultant, if you have other sort of side businesses that you have, you can create a service page that runs adjacent to your LinkedIn profile so that when people are searching for the types of work that you do as part of your side hustle or your consulting or your speaking or all of those other things, they also can find you too. Mm-hmm. And so for what I think that also does is it gives people who are thinking about having this sort of career awakening or thinking about making a transition, it gives them a tool to make that transition on their own terms. For some people, they may have it like that. They can say, I'm going to quit this job and go out and pursue my passion. Other people may have to do their side hustle passion and their 9-to-5 at the same time until they get to a place to where they can make that transition.
Yeah.
But if you've got a side hustle, it's a great way to look at it.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. RJ calling from Virginia. RJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Mr. Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I find this gentleman that's speaking, it's just making light bulbs go off in my head because I'm not up to speed. Now, granted, I'm 65 years old. I'm retired. You know, I do, you know, a couple of little other things, but I need to get this information to my children because, just to be honest with you, they don't listen to Harold Fisher, you know?
Oh, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I understand it's their loss, but okay.
No, but listen, I'm trying to be the vessel that gets them the information that you have on your platform.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So it's not all to a loss. So, number one, what the gentleman was talking about, having your profile picture on that Linked Up, that's the name of the company?
LinkedIn,
okay.
Yep.
LinkedIn. And what struck a chord with me is that he said it was like having a virtual handshake.
Yes.
Okay. And, that resonated with me because I come from the school of eye contact and handshake. You know, coming from, you know, that old school era.
Well, what do your children do for a living?
Well, one of them is into fashion. She's an independent contractor. She's actually at work now doing something for Louis Vuitton. And my other daughter is a title researcher. Mm-hmm. And she works for a small company in Fairfax, Virginia. And she does title searches, you know, on that final form to get them approved for whatever it is they're trying to do.
They may, you should ask them first, because they may know, but may not have spoken to you honestly. This may not be the kind of conversation that comes up when they drop by the house.
Right.
But they may know.
Exactly. And you know what, to be quite honest with you, I think you nailed it with that because they're probably familiar. If they do know, they might know a lot more than I know. I'm just hearing about it. It could be something that they're involved with already.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah,
you know,
because I'll give you an example, because this is a generational thing, but it also is a personality trait, because my father does not use social media at all, and he is 84. Okay, my parents are divorced. My mother is 79. My mother's text. She's on Facebook. She does all of. She is very social media savvy. So it's not a
generation.
Yeah. So it's not a generational thing. It may be a personality thing. But the only reason that I know this is because I can text my mother and she will respond right away. She will inbox me. On Facebook, for example, she is, if I post something on Facebook, she will respond directly. If I send my father a text, he will never get it. So, so again, if ask them first, are you familiar with LinkedIn? I guarantee you, as professionals, it's likely that they know. And then if they don't, then you share it with them because they may say, oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, and that's very, very important information which you're giving me, and that's the conversation that I will have. But in the meantime, my thinking is that, you know, I'm so old school with a handshake and eye contact that world doesn't exist anymore. Not that it doesn't exist, but it's just not as prevalent as it used to be. Because when I sat on a panel interviewing people, of course, I retired from working for the city of New York. When we sat on a panel and we looked at the candidate and it was like four or five of us, we would, the biggest thing they always told us before we went in there, our strategy was look for volunteer work. And I wanted to ask the gentleman, is that still a thing?
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate your calling and your willingness to share this good information with the family. But volunteer work is really, really important for telling your professional story. I think that there are lots of companies that are looking for, that have a pretty clear cut profile of what their values are. And volunteer work is a great way for you to showcase kind of as you as a person what your values are, but also that you are committed and hardworking. And for a lot of folks, particularly younger folks who don't have as much work experience, your volunteer experience can help you round out that profile to say, hey, I'm passionate about things, I follow through on things, I show up, and I help get things done. So volunteerism is incredibly important, particularly for people at the very beginning of their careers and people at that rise to executive level. Here's why I say it's just as important that volunteerism is just as important and that service for people who are on their way to the top job is because companies are looking for people who also are not just performers and work hard, but they're looking for folks that have values and have commitment and that look at leadership as also servant leadership. So I would definitely say volunteerism is absolutely still a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, great, because I know, like, when I sat on the panel and we seen volunteer work on a paper resume, and, you know, these are young folks that we used to hire seasonally, you know, from April to October because we was into youth services. And when we seen volunteer work, question them about that. And also we had people come in with degrees. They was perfect for administrative stuff. But for the hands-on stuff, we look for people that was more into what we was looking for out in the field. Like, we'll have an interview in a playground. And in the playground, because we was looking for what was called PAs, playground associates, we would give each of the people that we was interviewing a piece of paper and a crayon. And we would send them and see what they came back with.
Yeah. Well, RJ, hope that your children, and if they have children, their children will be able to benefit from the kind of conversation that we've had today because, of course, the job search, the way in which jobs are found, kept, careers, all of that is changing. And I hope that we've been able to give you some insight, not only for absolutely. The jobs, but also for networking. So thank you so much for listening.
No, I'm a daily listener.
Well, thank you.
I'm a daily listener.
I appreciate that.
I don't always call in, but I do absorb the information through the vessel that you have given it to our community.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You take care, and happy holidays to you.
All right. And thank the gentleman also for being extremely articulate in explaining everything because he gave me goosebumps the way he actually the way he explained things, and then he went a step further and delved into why he feels this way. And I appreciate that.
Well, there you are. Thank you so much, RJ. You can.
All right, guys. Have a blessed evening.
You too, Andrew. You can put that on your LinkedIn page. The distributor of goosebumps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know we're tight. We're probably tight on time.
Please go right ahead.
There's one final thing that I think is really important is that I want to say to your audience is if you're in a job right now and you're thinking, I don't want to do this forever, but I don't know where to start. Like, I want to make a transition, but I don't know what to do next to get there. One of the things that I say is think about the skills that you have. I'll give you a perfect example. If you are a bartender or if you're in food service or you're a waiter, you have 71% of the skills that are required to have a salary and benefits job in customer service management for like a call center or in retail management, right? And so think about that in that where you, the job that you have today does not have to be your forever job, right? We recently saw a study that said only 3% of African Americans said that they were interested in returning to work in the office full time, 100% back in the office, versus 21% of our non-Hispanic white counterparts. We are rethinking how we want to work. And what I would say is think about how you can look at, if you're thinking about making that career transition, your skills that you have are highly transferable. You can go to our website and take a skills assessment, and we have free courses on our website right now, on LinkedIn right now. If you are looking to make a career transition, we have courses that you can take that will, one, help you do a skills assessment so you know which ones to are highly transferable, and to give you more tips on how to find a job in the COVID economy.
But there are a couple of things I still wanted to touch on. And the first thing that I'm always really curious about, particularly here in the DMV, we have... Yeah. The lion's share of federal government workers, and a lot of the things that you're talking about really apply to the USA Jobs website and the like. Mm-hmm. Does that LinkedIn profile really apply? I mean, do those in hiring positions with the federal government look at the LinkedIn page? Because it seems to me that the hiring process with federal government often moves at such a snail's pace. That's the first question I have moving forward.
Yeah. So absolutely. I mean, we absolutely have recruiters for government roles that are coming to LinkedIn. We have relationships with governmental entities as well. I would say too is that even if your dream job is to work for the government and you're in the DC area, I don't believe that you ever put all of your eggs in one basket, right? Like we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think that if you're applying for roles on those government websites, USDA websites, et cetera, still continue to have your profile updated on LinkedIn. The other thing is that I think is really important is to use the platform as a way to engage with other people in industries that you're interested in working in. Find people who are doing the type of work that you're interested in and reach out to them on LinkedIn. A person is 7 times more likely to get a job at a company if they know someone who's there, right? That is a fact. That is what our data says. And so being in a position where you're building your professional network on LinkedIn, just like the gentleman said, you know, the eye contact and a handshake, a lot of that eye contact and a handshake that used to happen in real time in person at cocktail parties or after work events or at the VFW or whatever the case is, a lot of that is happening online. And so be have that same sort of thought process about building your professional network as you might have about building your followers on Twitter or on Instagram. Reach out to people or search for people who are doing the types of work that you're interested in, and feel free to ask them questions. You'd be surprised at how many people will respond to a question about, hey, I've been following your career, or I see your LinkedIn profile. You're doing some of the things that I want to do. I'd love to ask you just a couple of questions about how you were able to break through in this particular field. You'd be surprised at how many people are doing that on our platform all the time and are building incredible relationships, professional relationships that they did not have before.
That's the other thing that I was going to get to, is the networking. Even if you're not necessarily looking for a job right now, or you're fine where you are, the networking, the only thing that I have found, and this has to do with, you know, for those who are fully engrossed in social media, is that it is one more thing that you have to really pay attention to, because you do have people who are constantly reaching out to you. And that's one of the things that, for someone such as myself, who does have, you know, a larger platform, my gracious, it's kind of like having a child. Somebody's always pulling on my pants leg, mom, or dad, you know, and you have to kind of give it some pushback, because my email is constantly lighting up with people who are reaching out and trying to link with me, and so you've got to make some space for unlinking with people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, the average person does not have your profile. Let's just be honest about a couple of things, right? That you speak to, you know, thousands and millions of folks. That's not the average person on LinkedIn. But I tell you this: if someone was, you said you were a capper, right?
Yes.
If part of their opening salvo is that they know something about you, they are reaching out to you specifically because they have followed your career, or they are thinking about some very specific insight that you can give them. You know, if someone says to you, hey, I'm a capo, or my son's a capo, or if they say to you, hey, I went to undergrad where you went to undergrad, like, part of their opening salvo to you is gives you some indication that this is a person who didn't just randomly select me, or this is a person that I may have some connection to. They're in my same industry. There may be a higher probability that you're going to respond back to them. And so I say to people all the time is that be intentional and be strategic about when you do reach out to people that you don't have a previous relationship with, or if you have a mutual connection on LinkedIn, maybe ask your mutual connection to help you to help foster an introduction. Building a network is kind of like building a business. Building your professional profile and your professional brand, it deserves some investment of your time and your energy and your innovation, right? Building a career should get at least a fraction of the amount of time and energy and creativity that you use for things like Twitter and social media and TikTok, right? Because you're not going to get paid for any of that unless you're a small number of content creators.
Yeah,
I'm talking about how you position yourself on a platform where 6,000 people a day are getting new jobs.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking about how you position yourself on a platform. Every economic opportunity is not a job.
That's true.
So as you build your professional network, if you're thinking about, I may start a new business, or I may want to engage with someone who can help me find funding for something, or if I want to engage with someone who can connect me to these other things, or connect me to information. Network is a connection for opportunity is what I'm talking about.
I think that'll have to be the last word, Andrew, because now I am out of time. But Andrew McCaskill, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight. And happy holidays to you.
Thanks, sir.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.